Oh, hi there. Welcome to Working Title. I'm Ryan Fring with The BitLife Show. Realize that sounds kind of douchey. And this week's episode is Jessica Mayer. This episode was a blast to talk to Jess and just get a picture into her mind of how she approaches art direction and set dressing and costumes and things like that, and just thinks about a lot of those supporting elements that really tie the room together. This is going badly. So, wanted to tell you about a new thing that we're doing called 1 Minute Gamer. This is a collaboration, a synergistic. We're working with a great guy out of Milwaukee named Chad Halverson, or at @LEL_Punisher on Twitter, to provide some new gaming content where Chad will review a game in a minute or a little bit more. It'll still be in a minute. No, I'm not ready to. This is gonna be a weekly show where Chad reviews new games, old games, whatever he's playing, and gives you the gist. So, check that out, subscribe, do the thing, and this is episode 14, Jessica Mayer, art director extraordinaire.
You never know. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Jessica, so much for being on the show today. We have no formal start.
No.
This is just how we do it.
Okay. We haven't clapped for our guest.
Nor do we have.
Yeah, let's clap.
No, can we clap for this? Our first female guest.
Oh yeah!
I'm not alone anymore in a sea of testosterone.
Can we also clap for the fact that I'm sitting between both of you?
Yay!
And we're not wearing pants.
Yeah. And Jeff, can you see that on the...
It's ladies' pants optional.
That's
day.
Right.
He's probably wearing
and
pants.
And we opted not to.
Don't pan down.
Interestingly enough, I am the only one wearing pants.
Oh, yeah. I don't have pants on either.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Excuse me while I put my pants back down, because that was kind of gross, at least from this perspective.
So thank you again so much for coming and putting up with all these shenanigans as we figure things out. It's always kind of fun, because we want to do the best that we can, so it's different every time.
I feel like by episode 50, we'll have it down.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
If we can make it that far.
Yeah.
If we survive and Julia hangs in there. Because if we lose Julia, if we lose our woman, we'll just get boring. We'll just be a sea of testosterone, and there'll be no boat to float in.
It's pretty much episode 3. Yeah. Where everyone is like gone, and it was just us.
So we met you. It was probably the Princess Knight, right?
No, wait.
Well, us at least.
No, you got the 48.
The 48
noises.
What? Well, so you had what was on the cat at the end?
Oh yeah, yeah, missing. Pain.
Yep. Yes.
We did that in the 48.
I mean, I saw that. I didn't know it was you at the time. And later on, when Chris, my husband, the producer for Firmament, said, "Oh, you know them. They did the cat film." I was like, "Oh, yes, I know exactly who that is." But I don't think we had formally met until PK came along. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But we had done, what was the one, the DJ 48? Why can't I think of the name of the DJ 48?
The Noise.
Oh, The Noise.
The Noise.
Yeah. I wasn't
even
part of that one.
You guys did special effects.
Yes.
Yes.
But oh, yeah, we came over to your house.
And we shot in their studio.
I don't know if it had started yet.
We hadn't started PK yet.
Okay, but yes, you're right, we did.
So that's right, I forgot, but we had shot in the studio because that was the first time I was there. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess it was the first time we met you was when we showed up at your house, maybe.
Yeah, welcome.
Yeah.
You were looking for a Mac charger.
Yes.
And mine was the wrong.
That's right.
Version.
Because we brought my laptop to do the special effects without a charger.
Yep. Or charge.
And or charge. Yeah, we were like, it had a charge.
For those an extra budding challenge to the 48.
Those budding filmmakers out there, this is how you do it.
Yeah, right.
That's right. And so instead of having the best graphics that we could have generated, or rendered, we turned it down and got something fantastic. But, I think we had like 3% battery left. When we
I
delivered.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes,
when we delivered it.
Awesome.
So how did you get into it? Filmmaking and that sort of thing. Was it with Chris or through Chris, or have you always loved it? Or
It was with Chris. We had been asked by a friend from high school to do a 48, and we did that one under WTF Films. We didn't know we needed a team name. So when we signed up, we were like, WTF Films. So
that's pretty much how my first 4 years
right,
went.
Yeah. Right, and that's kind of how it went, too, because we had no idea what we were doing. Our story was so complicated, and we thought, oh, sure, we can do this in 7 minutes, and it was just...
Never do
not
a time.
Memorable.
A learning experience, yes. Right?
Memorable. I remember too, for that particular 48, we put flip chart paper all through my living room, like all of the walls were plastered, and we had a big powwow session with all like 25 people. What are your ideas? What should we do? We wrote every idea down, and then I'm not a script writer, but it was handed off to myself and Jesse Studdick and Ben Mayer. No, Jameson. And they said to the three of us, if you could just write this and when we wake up in the morning, we'll shoot it.
You're like, wait a second. How about you write this and I'll wake up in the morning?
But, you know, we were told in a 48, everybody has to do everything. Okay, well, sure, I'll write.
That is so weird. That is
we've learned,
legitimately the way that our first year went to.
So much from it. But that's how I got into it. And that was 7 years ago.
And you somehow still kept doing it.
I decided to keep doing it, yeah. Like, sure, every year, let's have everyone come to our house. Yeah.
Did you naturally gravitate towards anything? Or at that point, when you were just doing everything, you're just like, whatever, let's do it.
I would say I naturally gravitated more toward the wardrobe and design and kind of the art pieces of it. Writing was, don't ask me to write you a script. That's not, I knew very, very quickly that was not it. But I think I'm pretty good at, you know, we need this. Okay, what do we have that we can creatively, like, make it work? And that's kind of been where I'm finding my niche when we do the 48s.
Did you ever do any, like, musicals or anything like that where, you know, that mentality came from? Or?
Yes, and I was wardrobe and makeup. And that I didn't do acting at all in high school. I was all kind of backstage stuff. So,
which is crazy because you act really well.
I was a, thank you. I was a Goodwill expert. I could find wardrobe for the whole musical at Goodwill in one weekend.
Oh, I thought you were an expert at like spreading joy.
Goodwill. I also could do that very well. Yes.
I was way off.
So yeah, that's kind of how I've always had an interest in it, but never really had a formal venue to do anything. And so it's been great. I have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah. So now that we're all working on this film together, how do you approach it? I mean, what are you thinking about? Like, what does that look like when you're? Because actually, let's maybe talk about what are you doing for the film? What is your title and stuff?
With PK?
Yeah.
Boy, I think several.
I think you've done everything.
Aside from everything,
people keep calling me art direction, and it makes me sound very important.
List what you don't do. I think
I didn't
just be
voice
shorter.
The troll.
There you go. Yes. That's what she does. I do that.
But it, you know, I somehow like dressing the set has started to morph into set design, which makes me nervous because everything else has gone so well. I'm like, oh God, don't put me in charge of that. You know, so I'm, like finding Otto was fantastic and finding David was fantastic because I, you know, give me the blank walls and I'll fill it in for you. But I'm not a constructor. I'm not a painter. So yeah, that has been what I'm doing. Puppeteering, voice work, craft
services,
you know,
some
slate
producing.
When you need it, producing when you need it. We're kind of the hotel. It's the Mayor Manor, actually, has been kind of put on the market.
That's
for
true.
PK, so yeah, a little bit of
Jess
everything.
Will come to me and she's like, who's staying at our house this weekend? I'm like, well, these are the people that are confirmed.
Yeah, okay.
And I can take any overflow that you might have.
So
if you don't want
three.
Everyone there.
You notice I have yet to offer up my apartment.
It's all right.
And
we're nearing
what
the
heck?
And I'm three blocks away from their
house.
You
could just stuff everyone in there.
You could,
recent.
Actually.
That's
that
recent.
Is recent. I just started.
It wasn't as if this entire time you've, like...
I've lived...
Been holding out.
No.
Blocks away and just distancing.
Yeah, it's pretty much his personality to hold everything back.
It's like I don't like people.
Yeah, it's weird. Why
it's
because
I make breakfast in the morning.
Awkward.
With that, I will come over.
Wait, you make breakfast for Jeff in the morning?
Yeah, she does.
I make breakfast. Yeah, whoever is shooting PK and is at my house at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, they have breakfast.
Okay, I thought it was a Sun Prairie thing, in which case we hopefully will move there someday, so you can make breakfast.
Everybody should move to Sun Prairie because it's great.
Yeah.
because she makes breakfast.
So what do you like the most? You were talking a little bit about how art set dressing has morphed some into art direction and, you know, what are you thinking?
I do like that. I do like the art direction and the set design. There's been a few films that Firmament has worked on that I got to kind of just do it all, and I really enjoyed that. Acting is always fun, too. I don't think I'm the best actress, but it's fun to be able to do that.
Yeah,
so,
oh yeah.
Those two pieces of it would be what I would do if I could choose to do what I wanted every time. But, well, you know, as you know, fill in where we need to fill in.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you doing, you know, like a lot of us talk about once you start working with the camera, you start working with lights, you start looking at this when you're watching movies.
Yes.
Are you doing this? Yeah, on your, you know, when you're
absolutely.
Watching movies, are you like, huh, somebody hung that thing on the wall back there.
I do. I look at sets and I'm like, sometimes it's too minimal, or like, how in the world are they keeping track of all that stuff? Because I'm sure every time there's a take, a magazine was moved or a coffee cup was moved. And I find continuity errors a lot too. Mm. Like, particularly with women's hair. Everyone out there watching this, if you have long hair and it's over your shoulder when you're talking, keep it there. Don't tuck it behind your ear, because I'll notice that.
This is exactly why I don't have hair.
Yeah.
Just for continuity's
sake. Is
there
a particular like movie or show that you've watched that you've like, oh, I'd love to be like, I sometimes when I watch like just like the first season of True Detective, I'm like, I would kill to have been on that set or to produce that or something. So is there a show or movie that you've seen that you're like, oh, I would love to be with that art director, set designer?
Interesting. Actually, my
just to see like what that would be like.
Moulin Rouge. If I could have been on the set for that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's there's the colors and there's so much there. Mm-hmm. It doesn't overwhelm you, though. I mean, but if you sit back and look at like what's in her bedroom or whatever you want to call it, there's a lot of stuff there. And it just, it all works. Nothing really matches. It's supposed to look like this, you know, poor actress's. And it does.
It's like a hodgepodge of just different
things. I mean, I love the film in general as well, but just all of the art direction and all, I mean, the costuming and everything in that, I love it.
Have you gotten to the point where, you know, it's easy with directors or maybe cinematographers, but where you know names or, any, you know, and you follow movies like, oh my gosh, I got to see that new, because it's going to look pretty. It's
I should, though. I should kind of look at my favorites and see if there is a pattern or not. That's a good point.
And there probably will be, because that was a surprise for me when it came to like the music for movies or certain people, like not just the actors, but like the music being like, well, I love the music in that movie, this movie, that movie. Oh, look, they're all done by the same artist. Oh, okay. That's why I like them all.
Right.
You know.
And you guys were talking about, what's that gangster show?
Peaky Blinders? Peaky Blinders.
Which sounds like some little kid's like Saturday morning show. Welcome to Peaky Blinders, everyone.
I know. Penny Dreadful is Peaky something. Blinders. I can't think of what it is. That was pretty close.
Except that they whip off their hats and they blind you with the razor blades in their hats.
That would be a good show for set design and art direction. That's a show you should.
All right.
In fact, when you first start, you get through the first few episodes before any of that happens.
Yes.
It's like the second or third episode.
Wait, somebody actually does have a hat with a razor on it?
They all do.
They all do?
That's their thing.
That's their gangster style?
Yes. Oh, there's way more, but yes, that's the start of it.
Couldn't you easily be caught?
Excuse me, sir. Hurt yourself as you're
or that, yeah,
you,
like
in a hurry trying it's not, to do this.
And then what if you miss?
Hold on a second.
Well, they do a lot more than that. I mean, they're pretty.
They do shoot
pretty
people
violent
with the guns too.
But it's like the first moment where you've gotten like two episodes in, and you're still kind of like Peaky Blinders. What the? And they're just like, oh my god, Peaky Blinders. Yeah, you don't want to mess with those guys.
Yeah, Peaky Blinders makes a lot more sense. Shooty Dooters just didn't work as well.
Shooty Dooters.
Shooty Dooters.
Cat swords. That's why we don't name things.
Razor brims.
For Netflix or whoever. Yeah. Razor brims. I like
razor
that.
Razor brims.
It sounds like a bird.
Does it?
Yeah.
The rare African razor brim was seen floating by the other day.
Floating by. That's a thing birds do.
Searing by.
You're great. You're a... what do you call a birdist? A birder? What are they called?
A birder?
It's sliced meat.
I think it is birder.
They're birders. Yeah.
Birdist.
Ornithologist.
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 We're like, making up words.
Orthodontist.
You're like someone who loves toenails.
Ornithologist.
At this point, the lower thirds are correcting everything we're saying.
Yeah, we just got the tally lamp too. So, ready? Let's go to wide. Wait, I guess if I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. If you flip around, we'll point to you.
This is what the episode is.
Steven.
There it is.
It's like a vision test.
Over there. Oh, there it is. Like this one.
Ooh, that was fast.
What?
We're making up.
I love that we can't see him back there either.
This podcast. This podcast episode is going to be amazing. So many visual episodes. Sorry, guys.
Maybe you should watch on YouTube.
You'll just have to watch on YouTube.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Princess Knight.
Yes.
And the art direction and set dressing and all that. When were you brought into that, and what has that process been like?
Mm-hmm. I was brought in pretty early. In fact, I think the first thing that we did that was something that TC had asked. I've worked with TC before on art direction, so he kind of knew that I'm capable of finding things and figuring out how to make it work. The first scene that we did that really had any art direction at all was the dining room scene, which was a lot of fun. because I'm kind of a homemaker too. What can I say? I'm a mom. And I got, you know, I got to set a fancy table and and do all that. So that was a lot of fun. I do remember though thinking, we're gonna be under those hot lights all day. I need to
in a very claustrophobic space.
A claustrophobic space. But so what can I get that will last for the day? And I had extra parsley in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had backup in there.
So did we have real food?
We did.
It was all real food.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I feel like I would have just slowly eaten it.
No, it was
had
all
I known
no,
that. I had, that's probably why you didn't tell me.
I couldn't believe you didn't smell it. Everyone like, that's cheese is stinky. I'm like, I know, I needed a hard cheese.
My gosh,
so
I
wouldn't
love
melt under the light.
Stinky
there was leftover cheese. What?
Yeah.
So there was cheese just sitting there. Then no one was eating.
I would have 2 days worth of food. There was chicken and cheese and grapes, and I garnished everything with parsley. And
why didn't anyone grab that Sunday night at 6?
It was so fun to go to Goodwill and get goblets and things that, like, well, I would never use this, but they're cool looking.
I'm sorry, I missed the first part because I was periscoping. Was this for the Baron's dinner?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was actual food?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. See?
Yep,
no one told us, Jeff.
I was gone that day. That was the weekend I wasn't there. It was the first weekend I missed for shooting. Yeah. And I thought it was just really good looking fake food.
Yeah.
No. Wow. It was real. See,
yeah, I would have eaten
it. I love that scene. We should throw some of that up if we can.
Yeah, yeah. And I made all of the sheet music for the piano as well. That was
fun. Yes,
which is
brilliant.
Yeah.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Yeah. It was made old timey.
Old timey.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that what you'd call it?
That's the proper term.
Old timey.
Old timey.
That's an era or genre grandpapa. Of music. It's old timey music.
Yeah. No, that was great. That was one of my favorite scenes because we had so much set direction of that.
And not every scene in Princess Night lends itself to that kind of, you know, when you're in the woods, there's not a whole lot we can do. Although we've been known to pull trees and make branches look like they are trees covering signposts and things like that.
We have definitely terraformed air locations.
Yes, we have.
And left it looking a little different than when we came.
Yeah. Yes, mostly trampled.
Mostly trampled, but having gone back to the locations, they look fine now.
It's fine.
And I'm looking forward to Scarlet's Bedchamber because it's an
Me too.
I like another, set dressing places where people live. Mm-hmm. So when you think, again, like Mad Men is fantastic.
Yes.
One, because the stuff is so cool and retro.
Yeah.
But I think if it's done well, there's a lot, people live with a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. There are very few sterile looking homes. Mm-hmm. And so Scarlett's going to have so much stuff and she's going to be so well read and there'll be books here and just scraps of fabric and dresses and things will be tossed. It'll almost look a little bit messy. I mean, not too much. We don't want it to look like.
Now, are you finding like kids things or like, because the puppets are half the size of humans or so.
Yep. So actually, I don't know how many greats, great-great-great-grandfather made furniture many years ago in Germany and brought it with him to Wisconsin when he immigrated. And I have the nightstand and bed. So we're going to be using that for So it's a twin-size bed, and I think it'll look perfect
for like a king-size bed.
It'll look like a king-size bed for her. But the look, I think, will match what we're looking for because it was all obviously handmade.
Yeah.
And it's cool for me to bring that little bit of history in, so Grandma, if you're watching,
that'd be a great commentary
to
it.
And 100 years ago, everyone was about 6 inches, you know, 3 feet tall.
I mean,
I know I was.
And everybody 100 years ago is about 3 feet shorter. So,
it is a little shorter than a twin bed.
Yeah.
So it's not quite exactly the right dimension. So I think for her, it will look.
Joking
like
aside, I think it was there was a lot more economical furniture. Mm-hmm. 50 years ago and more because of smaller spaces and, everyone didn't own their own house.
Mm-hmm. And because people just weren't as crazy. Like, you know what? I need this bed to be twice my length and at least 10 times my width.
Yeah. I want to take an hour to roll out of bed. Not because I just don't want to get out of bed, because it's physically taking me an hour to roll.
Because it takes a mile for me to get to that point. Yeah.
How fast do you travel when you roll? Do we know a mile per hour on that?
You can travel as fast as you want. If you jump out of a car, you'll be going a lot faster than if you just did it yourself.
So if I can get a car,
I can help you.
In the middle of the bed.
In the middle. Well, if the bed's big enough.
Sounds like you need a set designer for that.
I need a set designer for my bedroom.
They do make car beds, Jeff. You know that, right?
Ooh,
So what? 5-year-old has a car bed at grandma's house. So.
I want a car bed. Vroom vroom. Time to go to bed.
What's the weirdest or most challenging set piece that you had to do, or
probably Cold Charlie. That was
that's what I would have said.
War film that was completely constructed in my garage.
Wait, was that the two guys?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
It was
I love
Luke
that
and
one.
Jesse.
That was amazing. Yeah.
That was so.
I thought it was like
set
an old
was in
shed
your garage.
Somewhere.
No, we built that in our garage.
Wow.
So we didn't.
Let's get use pictures
our
of that. Here.
For 3 months. Yeah. So, you know, TC's like, okay, well, that needs to look like this old, decrepit, abandoned building. Okay. So I call my brother and I say, I know you have a garage full of junk. Is there anything I can come get? He said, well, we're remodeling our kitchen and we've ripped up our subfloor. So I drove to my brother's house in Green Bay and loaded up with the ripped out subfloor. And while I'm there, he's like, hey, do you want these old tires and mufflers? Sure. So I,
oh, that's fantastic.
And he said, the only stipulation is you can't bring anything back. So I completely loaded up with our minivan at the time with his garbage so that he didn't have to take it out. And so, yeah, the mufflers, the tires, the walls. Yeah. And we only had enough subfloor for a wall and a half. So then I found big refrigerator boxes, and I opened them up and painted them and texturized those. And that's how we...
He's watching it. Yeah,
I have never,
I have no idea.
I have actually never seen this one.
Oh, it's so good.
Holy crap.
And when I saw that location, I was like, man, that's really cool. I hope they remember where that is and can get in again, because I would love to shoot there.
That was our garage. I will say...
That's amazing.
The subfloor has... For 2 years then, it served as our campfire wood because we didn't know what to do with it. So it's, that particular wall's gone.
If anything, we are resourceful.
We are very resourceful.
As a group of friends. Yeah.
And that one, too, I saved like soup cans and stuff for a long time so we'd have debris to put on the floor. Mm-hmm. And for that particular film, there was so much, I mean, resetting and retaking in different angles in one space. And I took close-up pictures of everything. And in between every take, I'd go back and like, make sure the soup cans and everything was angled the right way and re-spread cornmeal on the floor so you could see their footprints. And I tried to be as detailed as possible on that one.
Damn.
So, wow.
That's all I got to say. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
I hope that we can have a decrepit, like, barn-looking place in the PK movie because that would be fantastic to shoot. I can't think of a reason why that would happen.
We'll write a scene.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, let's write another scene.
You know what?
It's so visceral,
can we just
like,
write
that
it for
location.
A person?
Yeah. Like a creepy child. For a horror film.
There you go.
Oh, excellent. Oh, we're coming back to the horror movie that we started talking about 6 months ago.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen.
It will happen.
Yeah, you should. Yes. How do you feel about that, doing a set decoration for a horror film?
Great.
Yes.
Excellent.
Art direction.
All right, I'll get back on that.
Sorry.
I've made a lot
I want to be
of
clear.
Fake blood.
Yes,
in fact,
you
I think
have.
You texted me one day. How do you make fake blood?
I did. I was like,
I was at work and
what's the recipe?
Is that your fake blood? Because it tasted fantastic.
Yeah, that was for the zombie movie.
Yeah.
Or the zombie for Ben Heck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just mouthfuls of chocolate syrup.
Chocolate
I think
syrup
I need
and
more blood.
Yeah.
I made this stuff. I made fake blood once, and this was back in high school. I made it for a movie, back in like my freshman year of college, for a movie that we were going to do, a vampire movie. And I made it with some mixture that I found online, and it came out looking perfect. Like, it was the right thickness. It was the right color. It was the right consistency. It would hit like I put too much in my mouth, and I spit it out into the sink, and it splattered correctly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is brilliant. Could never remake it the same way.
You're like, oh no, what happened?
And it was cool. I know it was Kool-Aid, and I know there was like Kiro syrup in it to make it thicker. And it was, I just remember being
was that
so sweet.
Like Kiro?
Kiro syrup.
Kiro syrup.
Okay.
Yep. And okay. I know it was
dark,
so.
Dark or light
Kiro
syrup?
Light.
The light. Okay.
The light stuff. Are you making fun of how I'm saying it?
I think it was Kurosawa.
Kurosawa.
That you put in there.
Or, yes.
I think it was wasabi.
And,
Kyrie.
It would, would give this real pain expression on your face if you
would.
Put it like, oh no!
Yeah, you would look genuinely horrified.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's how we're going to do our next workshop.
I should probably go on the wheel of honesty or humility over there in the wasabi challenge.
Yes!
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm up for that.
Yes.
I'm up for anything spicy. I did the cinnamon challenge. I can do anything now.
That was spicy. You're just like, this is tasty.
Yeah. I'm just sitting there eating it like, can I have another spoonful? Like licking my spoon? Yeah.
Have you seen American Sniper? And it's on my mind because I just saw it last night.
No,
okay.
I have not.
The set decoration is terrible because in art direction, art direction is pretty good. But sometimes the set, like in the psychologist's office at the VA, he has like books stacked up and you can read them extremely clearly. And it's like, you know, the human mind working with people. And like it's so just like
stupid Hollywood.
They have to be a psychologist, so they would have books about psychology, right?
That reminds me.
Yes.
So my wife has been watching When Calls the Heart, which is
I don't know, a lifetime movie.
Sounds terrific. It's a series. It's but it's like definitely Hallmark Channel or something like that. And
with Quinn Medicine Woman, whatever her name is.
It looks like that. It feels,
Jane Seymour?
It feels like that. And it's set in the past, and it's in Canada, and it's about this mountain.
Oh, my
whatever.
Gosh.
Okay, here's the thing. I was watching Peaky Blinders, and she's also and watching this, and we're going back and forth. And like I watched like one episode of it with her, and I was just like, it's a coal mining town. And I was like, oh, it looks like everybody just arrived from the theater costume store into this town. Like, they're all just like, yeah, they just got
nice
stuff
clean.
On. I'm like, this is the worst ever. And I'm like, look at this. Look at Peaky Blinders. Right. They're just covered. Yeah. Like, that is, you know, attention to detail and attention to, you know, what they would look like, what they'd be wearing. Yeah. It was like, somebody was like, oh, this is period clothing. And there's an old-looking store.
Mm-hmm.
And then... that was it. And then they just stopped and they left.
Yeah. So what they did is they had enough money in their budget to rent the period costumes, but not wanting to clean them or replace them with anything.
We got to return these later.
Yes.
So,
yeah. So don't do anything. Don't get them dirty.
Take
we just arrived into this coal mining town, and that's where spiffy clean.
Yeah. I hope I don't have to go into that mine.
Right.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, I mean, that's one, like, area of, like, art direction, set direction has just been driving me nuts since she watches this show.
You know, and I've actually noticed that on Game of Thrones, this entire season, I don't know what it is about this season, every episode I watch, I'm like, oh, God, that customer had to be so mad. They just walked through mud, and, like, the clothes are getting drugged through it. And I mean, that's just what would happen.
Yep.
I was like, what happens if you have to take over and over and over again?
That's really so that's dirty. What I always wonder when you watch shows, and you're like, you know they didn't just do one take. And so, like, if people got blood all over them or they got they walked through mud, it's like now they go get that beautiful white dress that Daenerys had on or whatever, right? And now she's got another one she's got to put on.
Yeah.
And that makes me sad because there was a lot of work that probably went into making that.
I think they do think about it. I mean, I think they do think about that, and they do plan. I mean, I feel like I've seen behind the scenes where they're talking about that, and you're taking extra detail, just trying to like, okay, are we sure we're ready?
Right.
You know, because we're gonna destroy this thing, and we've got a few extras, but you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can't remember if it was Game of Thrones or another fantasy or Lord of the Rings maybe, where they're like, we have the really crazy detail up close one, and then we have the destroyable ones, you know, different versions, and you know, this one comes apart in this way and things like that.
You have the hero costume.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that goes into, I think, like, I'm thinking Mad Max Fury Road with all the cars is really having a good budget, because it's like, we're gonna blow up
six of these,
seven or eight, right? So how many do we need to make,
every minute.
And how many are we going to blow up? And so making sure that you're like, making sure you have everything you need for that to make sure, because
you
like,
ruin
oh,
it. It's like,
blew
okay,
it up. We don't have another one.
Wait, did you see a roll camera on that one? Because I was just.
I thought we were just running it. I thought it was a dry run. It's not a dry run.
I wonder too if they had some that were just, you know, they could film in close in a little more detail, and then others that actually worked. Mm-hmm. And I mean, from that one 40-minute behind the scenes thing, it just seemed like it was all the same cars. You know, they didn't have any special ones. But
well, I know like this is going way back, but like for Back to the Future Part 3, there was like 5 DeLoreans for that one movie. Because it was the one that it's the hero car, it's the one with all the detail in it. Mm-hmm. It's a stunt car. They had another one that was designed for the sequence in the beginning when Marty goes back to 1885 to be driving through the desert, because they couldn't the actual DeLorean didn't have the correct like suspension and the shocks that it couldn't actually drive. So they put the body of the DeLorean on top
like
of a
Jeep
normal
or something.
Car. Yeah. And like so there was a different one, and then at the end when it gets destroyed by the train, spoilers? For a movie that's
let me cover my ears.
For a movie that's 26 years old,
you have a year to watch a movie before spoilers.
Before spoilers
are up.
But like the one
of
the
10.
Yeah, there you go.
I guess when we get older, it's like I need 10 years.
I'm just saying, Back to the Future 3 by now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Statute of spoiler
1990.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
25 years ago. But no, like then the one at the end was a car that was completely torn apart and just pieced back together to be just the shell so it would destroy. So like they had multiple versions of the car depending upon the stunt, and I know a lot of movies that will do that, which is awkward when you know that certain movies do that, because you could be watching it and you're like, the car looks different. Like, there's something weird mm-hmm. about the car.
I'm going to go back and watch it tonight.
Yeah. It's just because, like, it's something doesn't look right. It looks too tall, or it looks mm-hmm. like it's different there. And it's not just, oh, it's the car
model.
So
they didn't do a good job.
They did not do a good job. Mm. Of course, they were also making...
And also, you've seen it 1,000 times.
Yeah, and I can pick it up.
How many times have you seen it, exactly?
I love those movies.
How many times?
How many times? Easily 200 times a piece. Yeah. I know them by heart.
So really? How do you... So how do you do all this stuff in the indie film world?
Yes.
With no budget.
Beg, borrow, and steal.
Beg, borrow, and steal. Goodwill is my best friend, mm-hmm. honestly. Whenever there's something that's
You're just like
up.
Very nice to people and...
And they just give me stuff. And I put it in a movie. It's perfect. No, I mean, St. Vinny's. In fact, the chairs for the Baron came from St. Vincent. They were $7 for the pair and black paint. And mm-hmm. I just dressed them with a little gray paint then and... Then we've got chairs mm-hmm. for the castle. Nice. Yeah. What's the other one? Savers. Any of those places, I just kind of walk around and see what I can find. And
do you have a stash of stuff you keep now that you make movies and you kind of know this is probably, you're going to be asked to do art direction?
Every time I throw something away, mm-hmm. I'm like, should I be keeping this? Yeah. But I mean, if I kept everything that I ever thought could ever look good, yeah. I wouldn't have space. But yes, I have a whole bin of stuff, most of it from the Roxy incident. Mm-hmm. All of that has been yep. kept. So we have all of the old, you know, there was the ashtrays, mm-hmm. and you had a few things that you
did
for
yeah.
that as well.
Yep.
But even clothing, like, oh man, even though I don't like this anymore, I don't want to wear it, mm-hmm. I should keep it. And yeah. then, you know, maybe yeah. someday if we need to destroy something, we can
right.
wear this.
We have major concerns about becoming hoarders at my house because we do the same thing. We just keep it in bins and you're like, I don't know, these jeans, someday I'm going to want to like... you know, chop a leg off in a movie and I'm going to want to rip yeah. a pair of jeans in half yeah. and I don't want to do that with good clothing. Yeah. And then you just have bins and you're like, yeah.
yeah.
That bin of wigs has come into handy yeah. several times, you know, yes. maybe yearly.
So Amanda, my wife pointed out, or we went to see the latest Avengers movie yep. and she surprised me by bringing along some clothes, and we changed and dressed up as Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Hex, yes, you did.
Nice.
And she was like, see, it's good that we didn't throw away those wallets because we had these two old wallets. And she had taken, what'd she take? She took like cardboard and tinfoil wrapped around them and pressed in and made, you know, the badges mm-hmm. and put them in these wallets. So she was pretty proud of that. Yeah. And yet I was like, yes, we did use them. I guess, yeah, you just yeah. have that problem. I guess the real question I want to ask, though, related to that is, what's your, like, crowning achievement where you're like, I turned that pile of crap into this thing that was a really cool prop for the movie or the best find or whatever?
Well, I think probably the Cold Charlie mm-hmm. set. I mean, Chris helped me construct 2x4 walls so we could put this old flooring on there, and then I had to paint it and texturize it, so I think that was pretty cool. I also think when we pulled together the DJ stand for the noise,
yes, being witness to that,
pretty cool.
It was impressive.
I mean, it took
in the one in your basement,
yeah.
They, our house, so, every inch of our house has been used in a film yeah. in some way, shape, or form.
So let's
it's kind
just
of been funny.
Let's talk timeline on that. So yeah. we pull what they probably started writing at 7 p.m. Friday night.
Yeah, so the poll's at what, 7?
Yeah, 7 is the poll. Yeah.
Right, so, I mean, they probably started writing around 7:38. Yeah. So I think it was around 10 o'clock.
Probably.
Or 9:30 that they're like...
We're filming tonight.
We're filming tonight. We need a DJ booth downstairs.
Yeah.
And I think we were filming mm-hmm. on that set at 1?
We filmed before midnight that night.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, we were wrapped by 1 because we had to get up the next day. Yeah. I think we were rolling by 11:30.
Yeah.
We had our graphic rendered by about 10 or 10:30.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, describe everything.
Oh,
how did
gosh.
You make the DJ?
Because so, yeah,
there's crazy stuff. People watch that film; they have no idea what that was built out
no.
of. It was amazing.
It was funny because, you know, Chris, again, my husband and the producer, is like, "Well, we need a DJ booth." He just looks at me like, "Whip this up." I'm like, you live here too. You have a DJ booth.
Well, get on that.
That's what you're looking for from me.
It's like, we'll just ask Ryan and John to do a digital DJ booth,
so,
right?
Yeah, it's like, okay, yep. You know, we'll use this corner of the basement because there aren't any windows. So mm-hmm. that's, you know, it looks like a room. There happened to be a TV mounted on the wall behind.
Right.
So the graphic was going to be displayed. Mm-hmm. That worked well. You know, we needed a big counter. So I went under my deck and pulled out an old countertop that I didn't throw away. See, you don't throw anything yeah. away.
Deck?
Under my deck, I had stored an old kitchen countertop from our kitchen remodels, everyone. This is the second kitchen remodel where I've been able to salvage something. And so that made a nice, big, long, hard surface, and we propped it up on sawhorses. Sawhorses, and I have two little end tables.
Yeah.
We kind of built that into a tower. Mm-hmm. You know, we had an old receiver, I had a box of old CDs, pulled headphones from the kids.
I think you put like a, you had like a bookshelf or something, threw that in the back with a plant or some stuff in the back.
You had a TV in the background.
We had posters. Eric had some kind of Call of Duty poster or something. Mm-hmm. There was a whiteboard that...
I'm watching the clip right now.
You're like, yeah, there was a guitar in there.
Yeah, there's totally good. Like I was
that.
There.
So what was really cool about that, though, was
so good.
I think that the microphones sell that really well. And Corey Caseman, the sound guy, was like, so can we put real microphones on them so that I don't have to mic them?
Yeah, just mic them from there.
So he was able to mic them up. There it is. Those are his microphones. And
it's impressive.
Another thing. So then Corey comes to me. He's like, you don't happen to have a headphone splitter, do you? Well, I still know where the headphones
are. Like tin foil and chewed gum.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we made them. There's the button that TC pushes is made out of a red Solo cup turned upside down and paper all around it. So it looks like a red button. So you just improvise. Like, what what do we have that we can sell this with? It's like, you can just don't focus on the red button.
It's make it studio. Blurry.
I do remember that being pretty, quite impressive.
In all fairness, because the noise was still before, was I knew people. That was my introduction to you guys, was because you did the visual effects.
I've known people for a long time.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. But it's like, I was kind of like, before I was part of this group. And in all fairness, and this is a compliment, I never even second guessed the set for the DJ booth. I'm like, no, okay, yeah, that's a radio station. Like, it just, I was like, in my head, I'm like, okay, so where do they film it at? Like,
so
what
good.
Radio station do they film it at? Like, that was how I looked at it. Not, oh, they made that in their basement or whatever.
And you know, what's hard about the 48s is you have no idea what you're filming.
No.
So, like, for PK, Princess Knight, when we had to do Sandstone's trophy room, I was able to say to people a month ahead of time, does anybody have any childhood trophies that they want, you know? So I could collect them because I had zero.
Yeah.
With the 48, it's what is in my house right now that we can finagle.
Or if anyone's within a few minutes from your house, you know, like you can't drive all the way back home or whatever.
Exactly.
Like.
But for the noise, that was all stuff we had. We had this old Yamaha keyboard. Chris plays guitar, so we were able to put that in the background. It was just...
I sort of feel like there should be a way for us as 48 filmmakers to like do disclaimers so we could say to them, that was not a DJ booth. That would give us like more points.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
we
like
that
was in a basement like, because it looks so good.
Yeah,
people are probably like, oh, well, they had every DJ booth.
That's
no, we didn't.
Idea.
So that film, that was the best. I love that
they
film.
They can basically
won
at that
more.
Point, they could judge you on the film, the finished film, but then also possibly judge you for bonus points on the production.
Yes.
Like what went into making that film.
Because some people do get locations like that.
Yeah. Right.
And we didn't on that.
No, we didn't.
That was actually, for the noise, we did a lot of special effects.
Yes.
Which I didn't recognize.
You can't tell.
No.
Because it's not fantasy.
I thought you guys I thought you guys just did the end credits at first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it's, you know, it's all so that things just look normal.
Right. Where the hell did you guys get that giant billboard? Like, how did you guys do that?
Yeah. Exactly. So it's it's the same exact thing where we got no cred for the amazing special effects we did.
Yeah.
And for that scene, you know, everyone's like, yeah, okay, they're at a radio station. That's great. Okay, what, you know, how does it play out? But then when you think that's not a radio station and you realize that, you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Art direction, set dressing, you know, all
actually,
that.
It would be kind of cool to take a picture, like, of my basement.
Yeah.
Because my basement has been used several times.
Roxy's
incident was completely filmed in my basement.
Wait, was it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
There's another example.
Yeah.
It's not at a bar?
No.
Nope, that's in my basement.
Seriously?
All of it was filmed in the basement. Every scene was filmed down there.
Yep.
Dang it. Trying to...
Andrew's going to have to load a lot of links.
I think the only room of my house that we have not filmed in is Eric's bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Because what, the same?
We filmed in our bedroom, Ethan's bedroom. My laundry room has been filmed in. Our basement, our kitchen, our dining room. No, maybe not our front dining room. The living room's been filmed in. I mean... We have made my house look like so many different places.
Challenge accepted.
Yes.
Name the rooms that haven't been used. We will
Eric's
write something.
Eric's bedroom and the dining room. Even the basement bathroom has been filmed. I mean, like every room has been turned into something
That just shows how awesome your house is, because it just, it opens itself to numerous filming locations and types of locations. Speaking of which, I do have a short story or a short film I want to film. I think I want to film it at your house.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a large fantasy epic. Yeah.
Between two opposing factions of sci-fi creatures.
And I think it highlights the importance of set decoration because when you're making a movie, the only thing that matters is the one shot that you happen to be looking at. In that direction, it looks like this. And when I turn around and look that direction, it looks like something else.
Yes.
You could shoot that against the same wall in the same room and move all the furniture.
Yep.
You know, like...
Which we did that once.
And I think, you know, I think sometimes, especially like indie films, that's where it's super important to have to know those little tips.
Yeah, yeah.
But people don't think about that, or they think that they need to find... Well, I need to find this, you know, location, because when I turn around, it has to look like this.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Well,
I should actually bring
it. You just have to have that that shot.
I took during the Roxy incident at one point. I took a picture of the set, and then I turned around and took a picture of behind. Yeah. I mean, it was just trashed, like all of the furniture, and just my decorations and things in my house. All of the equipment is just thrown all over the place.
Out of camera.
Out of camera. Yep. Right. So you're absolutely right. Like, if you can just get that one angle to work for you, that it makes a big difference. And I think kind of knowing we have space, we're fortunate enough that we need a big corner without a window, we've got that. We need a big corner with a window, we've got that. We need this many doors. I mean, you just have to think about, and placements of light switches. That was another thing with Roxy incident, was we need a big wall that doesn't have modern light switches and outlets on it.
That's right.
So we dress the set to make sure we hid all of those things, so that you don't think, well, why is there like this modern outlets in there. So little details like that, I have fun looking for stuff like that when we're on set.
I was gonna say, and it's a testament to like how good of a job it gets done, because if you watch a bunch of the short film, if you said, okay, these are the movies that we used and we filmed in your house, I've been to your house, I don't recognize all these movies. Like, I know, I'm sitting there going like,
even though you've seen the shape,
it's hard to it's like, is that room, or is it that like I have a hard time trying to think. I can't place
actually
it.
That's a real great point too, how you can play with space, you know, depending on how you shoot and how you set it up. Like with the Roxy incident in the office, and you know, whatever, if it's just the office location or but still looking at that, I'm like, I mean you know, your basement, you could probably open it up some and use it in there. But still, trying to spatially place everything, it's like, I don't know. It just looks like a different space, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was a 5-person total crew.
Yeah, that's
Roxy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That was amazing.
When you watch it again, it's really...
5 people did that.
So yeah.
Besides the actors, that was 5 people.
Yeah.
Sometimes those are the best ones. Yeah. Seriously, when you do like the short little, like the small little production groups, because then it's you don't have to worry about it being... It depends upon the film. It depends upon what you're producing, what you're making. Because certain ones like PK could not be done with a 5-person crew.
No.
There's no way that this could be done.
You have to know what you can and can't do,
right,
for sure.
Those are my favorite days, though.
When it's just like
when it's just 5 of us. Yeah.
5 of us. Yeah. Like when we, we're like the big open field when we were behind the log, and it was just you, Chris, TC, and then the 2 of us, and that was it.
And that was,
the entire crew for that sequence.
Yeah. I mean, aside from the ants.
Yeah. Not that they bothered you.
No. I mean, I didn't have a problem with them.
Meanwhile, Jess and I are back here going, did they say action? Are we... I can't hear them.
Just pretend you're talking.
Okay.
Higher.
You talk.
Higher.
No, I'll talk.
Higher.
Okay. Right. What is he talking to us right?
Higher.
I can't. What?
Yeah.
Oh, they said action. Okay. Cut. Jeff, you poked your head up over the log. I can't hear you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, you were telling your Halloween or your wallet story.
Yeah.
For a long time, I kept all of my kids' Halloween costumes, even though they were, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old. These things aren't fitting us. Yet they did. If you go back and watch Dangerous Summers, that scene in the field where, or the gravel pit where they pan across and there's all these bizarre characters, it's all costumes from Halloween's past. We had given Odin and TC, like, here's inspiration. And I kept bringing them crap. And they wrote every single thing into the film.
Oh my gosh.
So we had to use all of the toys and all of the costumes and all of the props. And so that was a really just kind of a fun thing too. Just carfuls of old costumes and Everyone just put something on. It doesn't have to match.
Yeah.
If you go back and just pause and take a good look at what everyone's wearing in that, it's none of it makes sense. It's like, why are you wearing a jester hat and carrying a hockey stick? I don't know, but I'm in
doesn't the film.
It doesn't make sense.
I'm a crazy killer.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard. I think that stuff has since
gone.
Because that's another thing. You don't want to be known as, oh, you just use that thing over
right.
and over and over
yeah.
again.
Yeah.
I do want to keep it fresh and different and new every time.
You don't want a movie where it's like, okay, well, that chair is from this movie. That couch yeah. is from this movie.
It's
that picture is from this one.
It's fun to bring one piece, though.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, you don't want everything to be.
Like for me, like if it was something, something very particular, I would be like I'm like, okay, we're gonna keep this picture from this. You know, we used it in that one. I know, but we're gonna put in this one. In my head, the entire time, I'd be sitting there going, okay, why is that? It's the same picture. It physically is in the story of these two completely different movies. It is the same picture. How did it get from that movie to this movie? Let's see if we can't include that in the plot. Like, that's what I would
have
started
that'd be
to
fun.
Do. Like, trying to figure out, like, how does that here? Like, mm-hmm. what happened in the backstory? Can we make a reference to it?
Yeah.
Just
we haven't
for
done
the people.
That yet, but we definitely could. I also
Give
like putting
time.
Things in that are meaningful to my family, because then when they watch it, they're like, that's the blanket that grandma knit for you. And so in...
that you were wearing when you were shot.
Yeah. So another fun contextual. Set was on 7 Day Wish. Mm-hmm. Our neighbors were gone that weekend, and we said, can we use your house? And they let us just go in their house mm-hmm. and take over. So the scene where Luke is waking up and mm-hmm. there's board games, that's our neighbor's house
yeah.
that they just like let us use.
That's awesome.
And
that's
so
awesome.
For
I
that,
love that one.
For that scene,
if you can help it, don't use your house.
Yeah.
Use your neighbor's house.
We had.
That's awesome.
We were already
we
using my
all.
House. Like there were other things that we were using yeah. it for. We used our patio or our deck for that one. But there was a blanket that my grandmother knit for me, or crocheted, I should say, many years ago, mm-hmm. and I just draped it on the back of the couch. And the moment my family watched that film, they're calling me up, is that the blanket that grandma
Aww.
Crocheted for you? So I like putting stuff like that in yeah. as well. Like, nobody else knew that, and it just was a blanket on a couch. And so it's kind of fun to do stuff like that, too.
It makes all that so much more rich,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. One prop you use a lot, though, which I think you're happy to use, is your dog. So maybe you could talk about, because I see him in this film. How many films?
Wait, you guys have a dog?
Yes.
So
I thought that was like a large rat.
Well, his name is Renfield, and his nickname is Ratfield. So you're just
I love his name, though. It's so
yes.
regal.
It is.
Yes.
He should have like a dueling sword.
Does he eat a lot of flies?
Yeah.
No.
That's a Dracula reference, yeah. everybody. Literature, boom!
That was just
that's
a graphic.
He was actually named after Dracula's assistant.
Yep.
From, so thank you very much. Jeff,
you know what that graphic has to be? It's Jeff like dropping a book.
Boom.
Literature.
And dry,
literature.
So, yeah. Yeah. So he was in The Noise.
Mm-hmm.
No. Not The Noise.
He was
Dangerous
in The Noise.
Summers. Was he in The Noise?
He
as well?
Runs across the lawnmower when Dale's
yeah,
telling
yeah,
him.
Yes. So he was
yeah.
in The Noise, and he was in Dangerous Summers.
Yeah.
This episode is becoming me just watching.
In fact,
videos.
With Dangerous Summers. If you look at Luchihuahua, that is the name of the luchador character. That's Odin. He was one of our writers. He's wearing a mask, and he's holding
I see
him
right here.
Yes.
I have him up.
So poor Ren, he's a black dog, and we're in this gravel pit with no shade. Mm-hmm. He was panting so hard. He was so hot. And,
Aww.
You know, like he was like so tired he couldn't walk anymore, but then he picked him up, and he's like, you're too hot. I don't want
yeah.
that either. It just took a while to like coax the dog into doing what we needed.
I have the same reaction on dates.
Yeah.
Was that a...
You're too hot. I don't want that either.
Oh, I thought you were like, I'm too hot and sweaty
yeah.
to participate
yeah.
in this date.
Oh, that,
that
is a,
what
that
comes
is a 48 I see on there.
Yeah.
yeah.
So the one 48 that you knew of us, you know, before we started working with you guys was...
I like the sound of that. The one you knew of us on.
The one you're infamous yeah. for.
Yes.
We did that. I think it's maybe something that everyone does on their first one or two, you know, first couple is you're just not taking the challenge serious enough. And you're like, well, we got to make it so that it's like, okay, what can we do that people will watch this and be like, that's impossible. How
mm-hmm.
do they even do that?
Yeah.
Yep.
yeah.
What you don't think about is that it's going to be
impossible.
Right.
Yeah.
Nearly impossible. Yeah. So yeah, that's on ours. We were like, let's work with children
and
animals.
Yeah. And a boat.
And have
and
a scene on a boat.
That's right. And jet skis.
And a jet ski. That's
yeah.
right.
Can you get the animal to jet ski? Because that would just be great.
Yeah. yeah. We'll yeah. win for sure if
yes.
we can get that. Do
well,
that.
The nice thing about using, I think, a dog takes commands probably a little bit mm-hmm. better than a cat.
Yeah.
And a jet ski.
Yeah.
Or a jet ski.
Yes.
Yeah, and I, at the
I'm
end
sorry,
of,
are you giving commands to jet skis?
At the end of Dangerous Waters, too, I have a piece of pepperoni in my hand so I can get Ren to follow me.
And then you eat it, and you're like, suck it, dog.
And we also smeared peanut butter on one of the little characters, so like we wanted him to sniff this certain character, so we smeared peanut butter on it and put it down, and Ren went right over. And
nice.
So. If that didn't work, tricks. Poop. You could have just used poop.
We could have found
because they're yeah,
really
they're just always
really anything. Dog just
anything but the concrete floor. You would have guessed it.
Huh? Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that was a fun one.
That's how I know where it is when I look out the back and the dog's sniffing. I'm like, oh, I should pick that up.
Just follow the dog around. Yeah, that's a good idea. Bring the dog with you to pick
exactly.
up.
Yes.
Yeah. Lessons learned.
Yep. Things that you learn on this show.
Wisdom. Drop in right. some knowledge.
Following the poop. And so, the flies would be there too. Anyways.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Which Renfield would proceed to eat. Boom! Another literature reference! It's the same
There's
reference.
The same
twice.
Reference. Exact same.
I got to bring it up.
That does not count as another. Minus, okay. minus.
Let me just bring it up
Jeff
again.
Jeff, minus, minus.
That was a double negative.
Can I get a graphic for that?
Stop my... It's what is it, a sad Jeff dropping the
yeah,
book?
Yeah, yeah, you just lost some points
Or the book
there.
Just gets taken away from me.
So are there things that you'd like to tell the world, and by world I mean the two people, like TC, anybody else who watches this. We appreciate you very
we
much.
Appreciate you.
Tell them about... art direction and, you know, what you do and how you approach it, or, you know, what is some advice that you could give to aspiring mm-hmm. filmmakers out there?
I think that background stuff matters a lot. I think I said earlier, no one lives in a really sterile home, but you have to find that balance of how much clutter is too much, how much is taking away from the shot versus what's actually adding to it. What would this person actually have? It's not going to be necessarily what you would really have. If you can help it, don't throw stuff away. That things that are broken actually make the best props because you don't care if something mm-hmm. happens to it. In fact, so many things that we've used as props that I've never seen again. I don't know what happens to them. You know, we're busy. We're moving stuff around.
You didn't give those back?
You don't,
what?
Do you happen
we weren't
to
going
have,
to, were we?
They weren't used as props.
Do you have a Batman CD player? Did you find one when you guys moved out of your old...
Batman CD.
The last time we saw the Batman CD player was
definitely not
at Backflip when we
did. Oh, was that for the noise?
The noise. Yeah. Not that I think
I totally
you took
didn't
it.
Take
but anyway,
it.
So
also,
fine
what's a CD
things.
Player?
I know. Yeah, no,
it's a big record.
It was Ethan's.
I'm a hipster.
It was Ethan's.
I like the face.
So not a hipster.
But Goodwill, I've said that over and over again too. Goodwill, people who just don't know what to do with their broken crap, give it to Goodwill, and then you can get
it's
it for 50
the
cents.
Dumb.
And it makes such a great prop. And
well,
then you,
as long as you don't have, like a lot of cases, it's like, oh, like I need a record player. Oh, look, there's one at Goodwill. It's 75 cents.
And
it doesn't work.
It's broken.
I don't
matter,
care.
Right?
It just has to sit there and pretend to work.
Same thing with Cold Charlie. At the last minute, we're like, oh, we need a canteen. I'm like, well, no one told me you needed a canteen. I ran to Goodwill. Oh, look, somebody's old camping canteen is here with water still in it.
Yeah.
Yes. But it worked.
Yes.
You know,
that's why I'm kind of jealous, because at least I know in the Milwaukee area, there's a couple of the Science and Surplus stores that sell bulk quantities of just old stuff, like a whole bunch of science, like beakers and bottles and glasses and all these tubes. And then also like World War II uniforms and like legit World War II, like they were used. Like here's gas masks, here's stoplights, here's stop signs, here's wires. Like, and it's like it's one of those places where I could see it being for a 48. We needing like, oh well, we need a mad science lab. Great, give me 10 minutes. I'll be back with like $30 worth of equipment, and we can fill an entire. And it's dirt cheap too, which is amazing. Yeah. But it's places like that that would just be it's so cool. Yeah.
I think it's amazing too what your friends have that you just don't know.
Yeah.
There have been plenty of times where we've put the call out on Facebook, hey, does anybody have this? In fact, we found a cat for the Moga film in like 3 hours. I put on Facebook, we need a cat, and a cat shows up. So you just never
You want
know.
A cat? I can get you a cat.
And it was such a
You want cat leg? You want cat ear? You want cat nose? I'll get you any cat.
I can get you a cat with a nail polish on it.
Wait, that's...
It was funny though, because even people that I went to high school with that I haven't seen since high school were like... where do you live? I can get you a kit. I mean, it was amazing. So just use your network. Go to
Goodwill.
For
the record, I don't want you to keep the cat. No, this cat is for a... Yep.
I had to make it clear, no harm will come.
Please take
the cat
back when I'm done. Yeah. I don't...
Yeah, this isn't a donation to the cause.
You'll find several people who hate their cats and want to get rid of them. Like, oh, it's like, here you go.
Here you
no,
go.
I don't want a vet.
Guys,
no,
I needed just... one. We got 12.
Keep it. And,
you'd be amazed at how many cats you can come up with at the last minute.
So it sounds like be thoughtful in your art direction and use what you have available first and ask around and you can accomplish a lot.
I think so. And you can make so many things. You know, we use real food for PK, and it was probably cheaper actually to buy real food than fake food, even though I can't reuse it now.
Right.
But it certainly it looks authentic. So you have to think about what's going to be highlighted, what needs to be real. Like the button stopper, if we had done a close-up of that, it would never have sold. It was an upside-down red Solo cup. But because it was kind of this blurry thing in the background, then it worked out okay. So you do have to think about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Things that melt are tricky. Back to the MOGA film, we needed blueberry a la mode. Well, ice cream's not going to make it, so really thick instant mashed potatoes and an ice cream scoop makes a perfect little scoop of ice cream, and it lasts forever.
Yummy.
So, I mean, there's
just eating that in his,
there's
in
little
his
tricks
mind.
You just have to think about.
Syrup would be gross.
Yeah. Yeah. Dust. Cornmeal makes great dust because it's natural and it's not going to hurt anything.
It's not kill you.
You can eat it.
You can eat it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So...
Well, great. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show and talking.
Thank you.
Hanging out with us. Are you on the internets? Can people find you somewhere or find your work somewhere?
If they went to firmamentfilms.com.
Firmamentfilms.com.
Just lit up firmamentfilms.com. What's over there?
And a new one's coming soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's
go. Definitely not every film on Firmament is something that I've worked on, but many of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you have IMDb creds?
I do.
IMDb link. Do it. It's really hard.
She also has one for the Trollblade, found at youtube.com/Trollblade.
Yes. I kind of sort of gave you a writing idea.
Yeah, you did. Christmas special.
See, I can give people ideas, but I can't write it. So
Twitch case, Chris even went, is Jess's name on that? I'm like, yeah, she helped with it. It's like nobody knew. Yeah. It's like your name's on there. You have a credit. You're on the troll. The award-winning troll blog.
That's right. Yes.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right. Oh, that's right. Thank you, Chad.
Yeah, good job. Wait a second. We didn't plan that.
Nope.
All right, so check out Jess on Firmament Films. You can find Do Not Be Normal at Do Not Be Normal on Twitter. Donut Be Normal? What is your Twitter?
Dunto Bellini.
It's Random Bell is my Twitter, first off.
you went like 10 years backwards to Phil's Never Be Normal.
Oh, Never Be Normal. That's a
website.
But I now want
totally unscripted, ladies and gentlemen.
I want that now. I think that needs to be all my new
Gentlemen and Gentlemen.
Hander.
Yeah.
Hander?
So, Random Bell.
Be fun.
Julesy Smith.
Yes,
with
on
a
Twitter.
Z on Twitter. And you, right after this, we're going to record a new podcast.
Yes, called Couch of Characters.
Can you just give us a little 2 minutes on
that? Sure. So, I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I think it would be really fun to actually analyze television characters. And using MFT techniques. So tonight is our first podcast with my friend Madeline, and I think it's going to be really good. And actually have a Twitter handle called @couchcharacters.
Couch Characters.
Nice. Nice.
Woo!
And you're going to be analyzing like crazy people.
Yes. So
and...
we're going to the first podcast will be actually comparing Hannibal serial killers. That's what people want. People want serial killers. So we're going to do Hannibal.
We love them.
Versus Dexter, and see what comes of that.
That's going to be amazing.
It's going to be really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ryan Fring, Shoe John Maker, BitLife Show. Check us all out. And tune in next week when...
Shut up. Oh, that sounds fascinating. I wish I could be here.
Right?
Yeah, you can be.
Wow.
Just tune in to the YouTubes.
Because it's
on
you.
The internets.
Ooh, maybe.
Wait. You'll be out in like 3 weeks.
Yeah,
or 4 weeks.
Sorry.
I don't know. Sometime. Tune in next time. See you next time. Wait, you should sign
hat?
Us off. You should sign us off.
You're
supposed
to give us. Oh, God, I'm really bad.
You think of something.
We're terrible at it.
Say.
Yeah.
Whatever,
so just give us.
Are we going to do our
count it
movie
off for
thing?
Ready?
Oh,
three, oh yeah.
Do you want to do that?
Play that game.
Do you want to do movie voice game?
Oh, boy.
Coming attraction voice.
We could have already ended.
I can guess, but I'm not very good at impressions myself, so yes.
Okay. Well, you'd have to play. You'd have to say it.
Okay, I'll try it.
Okay. Let's start with John. We'll go all the way around to Jessica, and I'll explain what it is. And you will finish it up.
Okay.
So it's not really a game, I guess.
It's just fun.
It's a disaster.
Yeah, we want to try to get to you with a movie voice. We're doing the premise of a movie.
Okay.
So, you know, like in a world, da 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 da. And you can change it from in a world to
5 years ago, a crack opened up in the crust of the earth in a small suburban town.
We're just going.
That was very good, John.
But that wasn't all that came out of the crack, or that happened because of the crack. Yes, I forgot nothing came out of the crack. So something actually came out of the crack.
You have to give us the title of the movie, too. Okay.
Believe it or not, it was Jeff's lost grandmother.
And with the crazy grandmother comes crazy adventures. This summer, watch the hilarious sci-fi horror epic comedy...
Jeff's grandma comes out of his butt crack.
Oh!
I mean, what else is there?
That was amazing.
It was so good. That's the best we've done.
That was one of the best titles, yeah, ever.
Well done.
I think I would watch that.
All right, that's it.
Cut. All right,
that's
it, everybody. Yay!